Hello, and thank you for joining us today on this program. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. And today we're going to go back into our study of obedience in the ABC of Christian Growth study. And we're going to learn some more about what the Bible says about obedience and what saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? I hope you've been reading your Bible and you've been studying and honoring the Lord and going over these scriptures that I've been giving you and just letting God, the Holy Ghost, teach you. And the more you go over it, the Lord said that He'll bring them verses to remembrance. Now, you think that when you read those and that you it don't do you any good to read them because you never remember them again, but that's not true. The more you read them, they're in there. If you read it one time, it's in there. And God the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance, but you get it in there and you saturate your mind and saturate your heart with the Word of God, and you'll begin to conform to it. You'll begin to live it, and you'll begin to love it, and you'll begin to desire it. Most of y'all probably know more about that than I do, but these are things that the Lord showed me, and I think it's beautiful. I would never trade God's word for anything. God's word is everything in this life, and it's everything in the next life also. So let's go ahead and get started. We left off on the topic in obedience of different relationships that require obedience towards authority. Now, it's taken us a little bit to get over these, or get through these, and we're not doing it for the purpose of getting through them. We want to learn. But it's taken us two lessons, and we've used two programs so far on these, but we have about three more to go over. And I think that we left off on number 8. And the last one that we did on the last lesson was number 7, which comes before A, of course, the man-animal relationship. You remember that? And the Bible said when the Lord created man, He gave him dominion over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That was found in Genesis 1:28 and James 3:3. Now, I don't know what kind of all these animal activists and this, that, and the other. I don't study all that stuff, and I don't try to get into their belief and what they think and stuff like that, because I don't think that way. I think the way that the Bible says, and what the Lord said about animals and the authority of animals and what's natural. You ain't got to be a very smart person to go outside. Now, it's a little different than it was 20 or 30 years ago whenever we was children, more like 40 or 50 years ago whenever we was children. But when we were children, we didn't even think about it. It didn't cross our minds about who was boss when it come to animal and man, because most animals turn run from you. As soon as they seen a man, an animal will respect a human being right off the bat. It's natural. And they give human beings respect. And I mean, you talk about lions and all these bears and things like that. Most of them try to get away from you first, and give you respect and honor you as a human being. And you can see that naturally happen. Of course, unless you provoke them or be around them with their cubs or something like that, you know. Then you're going to have some trouble. But nature teaches that the man-animal relationship, when it comes to a relationship having to do with obedience and authority, that man has authority over animals. And whatever you might think, people are more important than animals. Now, I said that last time, and I mean it. The Bible teaches that, and the Lord teaches that. Get in there and study. Get in the book and find out what it says. Now, the Lord did say that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the Lord also said, kill and eat. And all through the scriptures, you see people eating animals. The Lord ate fish all the time. Now, is a fish an animal? Yes. All right. Well, then, what are you activists going to say to the Lord? When you see the Lord, you're going to jump on him about eating fish? No, you're not. You need to get your priorities straightened out. Man is more important than animals. Now, the Lord respects his creation, and he expects us to respect it. But when it comes to authority, man overrules animals. Next, that's not all. When it comes to this topic of different relationships that require obedience towards authority, we have another one, the God-nature relationship. We see authority and we see obedience in that relationship, having to do with the Lord, God, and nature. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, listen to this. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" All through the scriptures, the Bible shows that God is able to do anything with nature that he wants to do. All through the Old Testament and all those battles and all those wars and things like that that went on with David and Saul and all the ites, the Hittites and all the different ites that was back there that they were fighting. All the time, even with Joshua and everything else, the Lord used nature to help them win wars. He sure did. All the time the Lord has been able to control nature, and he always will. All these hurricanes, I mean, any weatherman will tell you that he can tell you just about any kind of situation about a hurricane coming in or a tornado or something like that. Science has figured it all out, but the only thing they can't do is control it. They can't tell where it's going to go or what it's going to do. The only thing they can do is report to you what it's doing right now and what it's going to do when it gets to you, if it gets to you. You know, but they can't control it, you see. Now, God, they don't have authority over it. You see, they can report on it, but they can't tell it what to do. Now, that's where it comes to authority. God can tell nature what to do when it comes to nature. In Job chapter 9, verse 1 through 10, listen to what the Bible says. Then Job answered and said, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which moveth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." Now, what's he talking about in that verse? He's talking about all kinds of nature. The Lord had power over nature. He has not only power over nature, but authority over nature. That's one thing that man ain't never going to have. You can study as much science and find out as much as you want to find out about science and nature and all this nature and tree hugging and all this stuff going on, but you ain't never going to tell nature what to do. You always hear people talking about, you can't fool Mother Nature. Well, you need to correct that. It ain't Mother Nature. It's Father Nature. You get that? The Lord is the one that controls nature, and the Bible says that he tells the whirlwinds what to do. You know what a whirlwind is? He says he sends whirlwinds for judgment. When you see a whirlwind, you're talking about a hurricane or a wind that whirls. talking about not only a hurricane but a tornado or a typhoon or something like that. You're talking about nature. And the Lord drives nature. All he does is speak the word, and nature obeys him. The Lord told the water to hold him up when he was walking on it in his body. He walked on water. You seen anybody do that lately? That ain't just having a power to do it. That's having authority over the water. That's having authority. The God-nature relationship, you see. So there is in the Scriptures where we see that the Lord has authority and the nature has to obey him. We're talking about obedience. That's what this study is about, is obedience. There's obedience all over the place. Man is about the only one and the only thing that exists that rebels against obedience. You remember we was talking about the marital relationship. We was talking about the parent-child relationship. You have problems in that, not because it's supposed to be problems. It's because of the lack of obedience. The master-servant relationship, the ruler-subject relationship in the workplace, in society, and talking about the pastor and the assembly relationship, having it. Now, but when it comes to the Lord, the God-man relationship and devotion, and then we talked about the man-animal relationship. But now, when it gets down to the God-nature relationship, there ain't no rebellion in that at all. A straight obedience. Nature never rebels against God. The nature never rebels against God. It obeys him to the T. And he said, I shook the world one time. He said, but I'm not just going to shake the earth one this time. When I shake it, I'm going to shake both the earth and the heavens. You talk about an earthquake that's coming. You get ready. If you ain't saved, you better get saved, because the things that nature's fixing to come, the Lord, when he pours them vials out up there in heaven during the tribulation, read it. It's about nature, and nature's going to obey him. He said that there's going to be hail that falls. The Lord's going to send hail, and it's going to fall, and it's going to weigh, I don't remember what it said, something about a talent, so many talents it's going to weigh, between 80 and 100 pounds apiece. Now, that's some hail. And it has to do with disobedience, you see. The God-nature relationship. Nature obeys God. It don't matter what man says and what man studies and what science says. All you got to do is open your eyes and see. Everybody talks about how much they know about the wind and how much they know about barometric pressure and know about this and that and the other, but they have no authority, and they're never going to have authority. They say, you know, we can get any smart newsman that does the weather. I've heard just about every newsman I've ever heard comment about that and say, you know, this is what it's doing right now. But, you know, you can't tell nature what to do. Mother Nature's always going to get the heads up, always going to be the one that wins. Now, they admit that, but when it comes to saying, all right, well, God's in control of nature, nah. God ain't got nothing to do with it. You see how stupid people are? All right, let's move on. That's not all. Another one is the God-devil's relationship, or unclean spirits, according to the Scriptures. They're called both of them. Devils and unclean spirits are scriptural words. The God-devil relationship. There is a relationship there having to do with authority and obedience. The devils and the unclean spirits have to obey God. They don't have a choice in the matter. When the Lord speaks, they obey. Now, the Lord has done some mighty things with his grace and his mercy, and I've yet to figure out just exactly what's on the Lord's mind concerning the devils and unclean spirits, because he even has mercy on them. as wicked as they are and everything, the Lord, you see in there where the Lord Jesus Christ meets up with people that are possessed by unclean spirits and devils, and the devils will speak out. And they talk to the Lord in the scriptures, and they say, "What, have you come to destroy us before our time?" And then they'll ask him, remember the ones that, the one that was named Legion, and "For we are many," the Lord asked him his name, and he had to answer him. He told him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And there was a lot of spirits in that guy, unclean spirits in that guy, and the Lord told him to get out of him, and the unclean spirits, the devils, asked the Lord permission to go into them hogs. Remember that? And then the Lord gave them permission. Well, they had to get his permission. They had to be obedient to what the Lord said. And every one of the ones that the Lord commanded to come out of those people, they obeyed immediately. The Lord has authority over unclean spirits and devils. Now, even though they're in a rebellious state, and they're in a state to where they're going to be judged for eternity, and they're going to come up for judgment, and the Lord is, according to the scriptures in Revelation, is going to damn them. They're going to end up in the lake of fire. The devil is. Now, I'm sure if he's going to go there, I don't know exactly. I'm sure the devils are going, and the unclean spirits are going to end up there too. But the devil's going to end up there, and he knows it. But the Lord's letting him run around, and he's going to let him run around all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Even after the millennium, he's going to turn him loose for a while. And he's going to let him have his last little run at Jerusalem and try to go in there with Jesus himself being there and try to take it over. And the Lord's going to send fire, nature, from heaven, and burn all them people up. And then he's going to put the devil in there with the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist and put them in the lake of fire. And they're going to burn and be tormented forever and ever. But the Lord, when it comes to this God and devil relationship, there is a relationship that exists when it comes to authority and it comes to obedience. The devils and the unclean spirits have to obey the Lord. They have no choice in the matter. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 27. The Bible said, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out." Who cried out? The unclean spirit cried out. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, "Let us alone." Notice that was plural. The man had more than one devil in him. "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." He told him to shut up and get out of that man. Well, what did the devil do? "And when the unclean spirit had torn him," I guess he was throwing him around and mad because the Lord had given him a command to get out, and that devil was trying to get the last one in on the fellow. "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." You see? When it comes to this obedience thing that we're talking about, and this study that we're talking about, and the topic of obedience, you think that we're just, or at least whenever we started this study, you thought, okay, well, we're going to get into a study about how I'm supposed to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and obey, and not backtalk, and all this, and yeah, we're going to get into all that, and already have. But the Bible talks about there's obedience that exists and authority that exists everywhere. And the Bible talks about it everywhere, and it shows examples of authority, and people are not just the ones that have obedience and authority existing in their lives. Nature has authority and obedience in it. The Lord has authority over the devils and the unclean spirits. There's all kinds of obedience and authority that we've already looked at. Did you know that? That's amazing, isn't it? So you see, when it comes to obedience and authority, God's not just picking on human beings. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to be. And if you want things to be right in your life, and you want to live with joy, and you want to live with peace, and the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. That's not all. We got one more when it comes to this topic that we're studying that has to do with different relationships that require obedience toward authority. And that's number 10. It's called the truth, faith, word of God, child of God relationship. Truth, faith, word of God, child of God relationship. Now you say, what is that, brother? Well, what that is having to do with truth and faith and the Word of God and its relationship having to do with authority and obedience to the child of God, the relationship between them two. The child of God is commanded many things, but one thing that the Scriptures command. Let me read you some Scriptures. We have quite a few Scriptures I want to read you on this one so that you get the truth about what's going on in this relationship. This is for you. All of them are for us and their truth, but when it comes to this truth-authority relationship, we're commanded to be obedient. And if you are a born-again believer and you know the Lord Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father, and the Holy Ghost dwells in you, you know the truth about how your obedience is supposed to be toward these things and toward the Lord. When it comes to truth, faith, and the Word of God, let me read you some Scripture. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says this, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. According to Galatians 3, verse 1, and then 5, verse 7 and 8, what we just read, the Bible says the child of God is commanded to obey what? It is commanded to obey the truth. That's what Paul said there. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Let me ask you, Christian, there's a whole bunch of Christians that are showing the world that they're Christians, quote. But when it comes to obedience and it comes to whose authority and the obedience, they're not obeying the truth. Obedience is obeying the truth, not lies. And there's a whole bunch of so-called Christians in society today, and that's the way it's going to get in this Laodicean era, is that they're not going to want to listen to sound doctrine. And what is doctrine? Doctrine is the truth. What is the truth? And it says they're not going to want to hear sound doctrine. The true truth. They're going to want to water it down and don't offend me. And that we can live our lives and be Christians too. or swim in my sin and be Christian too. But Galatians 3 verse 1 says that we are commanded to obey the truth. It said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 and 36, listen to this. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So when it comes to the truth, we're commanded to obey the truth. The Lord said it takes the truth for you to, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a difference in being free, or being made free, and being set free. All you other Bibles, other than the King James, the majority of them have changed that one word, make, to set. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, you ask any prisoner in jail, or a prisoner that's in prison, or anybody that's in jail, if there's a difference in being made free and set free. You see, Jesus said that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. We're talking about the truth. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're talking about the truth, faith, and word of God in relationship with obedience and authority with the child of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17, listen to this, and we're just talking about truth right now. The child of God's commanded to obey the truth. And it's not just for, the Lord don't have to obey the truth. The Lord is truth. And the Lord wants us to obey the truth, which is authority. The truth is the Lord's authority. And he wants us to obey the truth for our benefit, not for his benefit. He don't need to be any better. He's holy. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're talking about the relationship between truth, faith, the word of God, and the relationship with the child of God concerning authority and obedience. The child of God is to be obedient to the truth. And what the Bible say the truth is. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says, so then faith, now remember we're talking about faith to truth, faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you see, all three of those work together, the word of God, faith, and truth. The child of God has to be obedient to them. The child of God is commanded to be obedient to truth by faith, which is the gospel in God's word. Listen to some more scripture. The Bible says this in John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 through 6, it says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Big difference there. I mean, Jesus, this kind-hearted, sweet, peaceful, loving Jesus, he could say some hard things sometimes, couldn't he? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. This truth, faith, word of God relationship having to do with authority and obedience with the child of God, the Bible says all over the place and talks to us as Christians and commands us to be obedient to the truth, be obedient to the faith, and be obedient to the word of God. And that the truth, faith, and the word of God has authority over us. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 6 and 10, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And finally, in that last topic that we was talking about, truth, faith, and the word of God. Now, remember, we're talking about obedience. That's our study. And under this study, the topic that we're talking about is different relationships that require obedience towards authority. And the last one that we're looking at is the truth, faith, word of God. It's very, very important when it comes to obedience and it comes to authority. Christians don't think that the word of God, which is truth, and the truth of the word of God, and the faith that they claim to have in the word of God, and in the truth, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not have authority over them, and tell them what to do and what not to do. But the Bible says that that's a lie, because whoever, remember what we read there? It said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, the word of God, truth, faith, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So the Lord lays it out pretty straight. And there's no misunderstanding that. And if you tell the truth about obedience and authority in your life toward the truth and toward faith and toward the word of God, you know whether or not you're obedient to it or not. So do I. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6 says, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You see what the Lord thinks about humility. And humility has to do with obedience when it comes to truth, faith, and the Word of God. And we've read three verses right there, Proverbs 16:18 and James 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5, that the Lord tells us to humble ourselves to the truth, humble ourselves to the faith, and humble ourselves to the Word of God. What's it mean to humble yourself? Be obedient. So the child of God, relationship, having to do with truth, faith, and the Word of God. That is a relationship that we talked about, having to do with different relationships that require obedience towards authority. Now, just to recap just a little bit, and there are more in the Scriptures, but these are some that we're just going to go over as ABCs of Christian growth. There's probably some in here that you'd never even thought about. The marital relationship. And how important that is when it comes to obedience and authority. And all of these require discipline and humility and that you do it on purpose. You have to sacrifice in order for this obedience to exist when it comes to the authority in these relationships. The parent-child relationship. The master-servant relationship, as far as in the workplace and with the jobs. The ruler-subject relationship, as far as in society. The pastor-assembly relationship. The God-man relationship. Then we talked about the man and animal relationship. Remember that? And the God-nature relationship. And there's a lot more about authority and obedience in the Scriptures than we realize, isn't there? And then the God-devil's relationship. The unclean spirits have to obey the Lord. And then the truth, faith, Word of God, child of God relationship. Now, what does this show us? This shows us that God has a plan, doesn't he? That the Scriptures are not just happenstance. They're not just something that's out there that you read for enjoyment and then put it down and it doesn't affect anything. No, the Word of God is everything. It involves everything, the past, present, and future. Everything. And it should be everything in your life, too. That Bible teaches everything and anything about life and about the future, about right here, right now, and about the past. It liveth and abideth forever. Now, winding up this topic that we're talking about in obedience before we go into another one. In each of these areas, God expects you to be obedient to those in authority just as you would and with the same attitude, Him. Yet in each of these areas, we find the most rebellion today. Bossy, I got my rights, domineering wives, or weak, spineless husbands who will not lead. And then rampant, bratty, rebellious children, militant unions, anarchists, self-pitying minority groups, ungodly, sex-perverted movements, and church members who continually buck the pastor, all being influenced by pride and rebellion. We should not let any of these things be named in our lives. We have already read and know about God's opinion of a rebellion. If the one in authority is failing to give the leadership that he's supposed to or be responsible, there might be some of you out there that you're saying, man, you just don't know, Brother TV. Yeah, I know. I've been in them situations before. But the Bible tells us that the Lord will deal with them. The Bible tells us that we should make it a matter of sincere prayer and pray and watch what the Lord does. Lead these things to God when it comes to an authority that's being disobedient. Pray about it. Talk to the Lord immediately about it and continually about it. That the Lord will humble him and fix the thing. We're supposed to try to help one another, not destroy one another. Now, if the authority has no intentions of straightening up or getting right with the Lord or is headed out in the world, whatever's going wrong, don't try to rectify the situation by usurping the authority. The scriptures have instructions on how to deal with these with urgent matters, but common authoritative problems are usually a matter of pride, aren't they? I mean, there's a lot of arguments when it comes to obedience and when it comes to authority that are unnecessary and childlike. Remember what we read just a while ago, those last three verses about pride going before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall? Most of the time it's just the problem is not as major as it ought to be when it comes to authority and it comes to obedience. We just don't want nobody telling us what to do. But the bottom line is God commands obedience. And he commands obedience to authority. Now the thing is are you going to? You be obedient because that's what your Lord says. And that's what your Lord wants you to be like. Jesus humbled himself even to death, even the death of the cross, the Bible says. Now, if your Lord would be willing to do that, God in the flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and Jesus humbled himself as a man to death, even the death of the cross. Now you think about that. And then did it all so that we could live forever with him in a perfect eternal state. And everything gets better from here for the saved, Bible-believing, born-again Christian. Why is it so hard for you just to shut up and be obedient? But the only answer is me not want to. Me not want to be obedient. Me not want, you don't tell me what to do. Me 3 years old. Somebody's going to tell you what to do. Somebody's always going to tell you what to do. It's just a matter of what authority you want to be under. You want to be under authority that loves you and wants to see better for you and good for you and take care of you? Or you want to be under some authority that's mistreating you and beating you on the back of the head all the time, got a thumb on your head all the time, and watching you all the time, and all for the wrong reasons? You're going to be under authority, and you're going to be obedient one way or the other. James chapter 4, we talked about that. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed in humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You got to be humble to somebody. You got to be obedient to somebody, whether it's going to be to the Lord, because you want to and because you love him. Man, what a perfect life it is that you love the Lord with sincerity and truth, and you try to be obedient as best as you know how towards Him, and the Lord will bless you above more than you can thank Him for. I confess that. The Lord has been so kind to me. He has. He has straightened up some things for me. And He didn't have to. But it's just a matter of a change of mind. I'm not going to be rebellious no more. I'm not going to serve the wrong authority anymore. I'm going to be obedient to my Lord, because my Lord ain't never done nothing wrong to me. He ain't done nothing but try to help me. So I'm going to be obedient to Him. And I'm going to obey Him because I want to, not because I have to. If God wanted to make you obedient, all He has to do, He controls nature. He can control your nature if He wanted to, but He gives you the choice in the matter. Because He wants to be loved because you want to love Him, not because you have to love Him. And that's the same way you are. You don't want no fake love, nor does the Lord. And when you obey the Lord, you're not ever doing anything wrong. You will never be disappointed about humbling yourself and obeying the Lord. He will lift you up, and He will reward you for it. The thing we have to do is fight the flesh, fight the world, and fight the devil that continually try to tell us that God is mistreating us, which is a lie from hell. So, we've been talking about obedience, and the topic that we've been talking about is different relationships that require obedience towards authority. Now, we finished that one, and the next one that we're going to go into on our next program will be some truths about obedience in a Christian's life. We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about some results that are produced for resisting obedience. What kind of results do you get when you resist obedience? You could probably come up with a list of them, couldn't you? We all could. And then scriptural obedience to civil governments. We've talked a little bit about that, but we're going to go into a little bit more detail about that. And some examples of obedience found in the scriptures. Some examples of obedience found in the scriptures. They're all over the place. Obedience is all over the place in the scriptures. And it's all over the place in your life, too, and in this world. There's the wrong kind. There's obedience because you have to, and obedience because you want to. You have bad masters, and you have good masters. And you know what kind of Lord we have. There's no reason in the world why we should not be obedient to Him. He loves us and cares for us, and He proves it. And He's very kind and merciful and stands ready to forgive. All you have to do is humble yourself. And doing that is not by accident. It's on purpose. And telling the truth. You ain't got to go with no bullhorn and tell the whole world what's going on. Confess your faults to the Lord and to one another, that you may be healed. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord stands ready to put you back in fellowship with Him right now if you'll humble yourself and be obedient to His word and to Him. Amen? Good stuff, huh? So, praise the Lord for us having a God that's worthy to be obedient to. And we're going to go ahead and stop now. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? And if I can find my place here again, see where we started there. I think we started the God-nature relationship, which would be Matthew. Let me give you this. You ready? Got your pencils? Well, I'm the one that's got to be ready. Hang on. I always have trouble with this, don't I? Here we go. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. Job chapter 9, verse 1 through 10. Mark chapter 1, verse 23 through 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, and 36. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 17. John chapter 6, verse 63. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 10. And the last one for today is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. You know, God bless you for honoring the Lord and finding a way to study His Word and for just being obedient to the Lord. This is just studying together and getting in God's Word and honoring His Word is a sign of obedience. You've been obedient by studying God's Word today, because the Lord commands us to get in His Word and study His Word. His Word is truth. His Word is everything to the born-again believer. It's everything to us. And the very first thing and priority with the devil's business about is trying to take that Word away from you. If he gets God's Word away from you, he don't have to worry about anything else about you. You're going to go down. You're going to self-destruct without God's Word, and we all will. So, God bless you for studying God's Word today, and thank you for being obedient about it. And I'll talk to you on the next program, and we'll talk about some more about this obedience. We only got maybe one or two more programs worth of material and the ABCs having to do with obedience, and we'll move on. So hang in there, be faithful and be obedient. The Lord loves you, and I love you with Christ's love. God bless you. Bye-bye.